Well, I'd ask for your prayers this evening. Lord, bless these few moments together. This evening, my little burden is this: love of the world of the Father. Love of the world, love of the Father. Everything that you and I see around us today, result of sin, comes from the enemy of our souls, the devil, Satan. Satan is the opposer. He's the accuser. Satan was behind the temptation with Eve in the Garden of Eden. And you remember the occasion, how well we remember the occasion, that when the tempter came, the serpent came to her, he asked a question. Has God said that you can't eat of every tree in the garden? And he reasoned with her. Reasonable question, wasn't it? To be asked, the instructions that you've been given, Satan comes along, the serpent comes along and says, well, did God say that you're not supposed to eat of every tree of the garden? And she said, well, we can eat of all the trees of the garden. But this one tree, this tree of the knowledge of good and evil, the fruit of it, we're not supposed to eat it. Because the Lord has said that if you eat of it or you touch it, you'll die. So the question came back. And he said unto her, well, you'll not surely die. Now God knows that if you partake of this, your eyes will be opened. And you'll be as gods. And you'll know good and bad. Good and evil. You'll know those things. In other words, the implication was that this God who gave you this instruction is trying to hold back something from you. And because he knows that if you partake of that, then that's the only thing between him and you that would put you on the same plane. No doubt Adam and Eve had had conversation about God, who he was. I don't know how long indication is that it was a short space of time that they lived this way before the tempter came along. But we don't know how long it was. But they had time to look around and see everything that was before them. They had time for God to visit with them and tell them, Adam, Eve, this I made for you. And this was created for you. And I put this here for you. Your responsibility is to dress it and to keep it. You maintain it, but I put it all here for you. And the Scripture says that the Lord came down in the cool of the day. Now, we think that's the evening, but we don't know when it was. Because He came in the cool of the day, and He communed with them. He walked with them. He talked with them. I wonder what that conversation was. Adam, Eve, I love you. I've cared about you. And I'm going to be there for you. And just love me. Show me that you love me. And by their obedience to the Lord, by not partaking of that tree of the knowledge of good and evil, was the indication that they had yielded their will to the Father, to God. But the Scripture says, there in Genesis chapter 3, verse 6, "And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and the tree to be desired to make one wise," it's verse 6 of chapter 3, the book of the beginnings, book of Genesis, "she took of the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat, and the eyes of them both were opened." Curious little passage of Scripture there. The eyes of them both were opened. And they saw that they were naked. And they sewed fig leaves together, made themselves aprons. They heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. Their eyes were open. And their eyes were open to another dimension now that included not only the knowledge of good and evil, but it included guilt, shame, feeling the power of the separation, feeling the power of making the decision to disregard the instructions of the Creator, the One whom breathed into Adam's nostrils the breath of life. And when Adam came alive, "If you'll give me this liberty in my mind's eye," he saw God. The first communication that he had, the first words, was a communication with the Father, with the Creator. Given this commission to subdue things and caused the animals to come before him for Adam to give them names. Scripture says that as they came by, every one of them had a mate suitable to them. But for Adam, there wasn't one. So the Lord caused a deep sleep to fall on Adam. Took one of his ribs, made a woman. When he woke Adam up again, Eve was there. "Look what I've done for you, Adam. I've made a help suitable for you. I've given you something that's to complement you. I've given you something that is to be a mirror image of you. The two of you together will fit in perfect unison. But just don't partake of this tree." This is what God did for them. It's the words that God spoke to them. It's what God told to Eve, and Adam told to Eve, and Eve told to Adam, and the Lord spoke with them, and they talked about those kinds of things in the cool of the day. But the tempter came. I've done a little bit of research. Several years ago, very haltingly picked up a satanic Bible. I was almost scared to touch it. But I did. I picked it up in a bookstore. And I read a few pages of it. And what I read, the little bit that I did read, I could feel the power of darkness. Now, I'll tell you, if I ever felt the power of darkness, I could feel the power of darkness while I was reading through some of the pages of that satanic Bible. You would say, "Well, you're crazy." Maybe. But I wanted to understand a little bit about what that's about. And I found, as I had been told in the past, and what little research I had done and have done since then, is that everything that there is to do with satanic worship, the rituals and things of that nature, have to do with the absolute fulfilling of self-interest and self-desires, self-gratification, doing everything that you can possibly do to promote self and put self at the top of the list. In every way to please self, satisfy self, that's what you reach for. Because that's what you're supposed to do as a Satanist. If you're going to worship Satan, and this is what the Scripture says, that when Eve saw that tree, it looked good. It was a good fruit. It was pleasant to the eyes. And it was something to be desired to make one wise. And you've heard me say that when we're young, we reach out for knowledge. We reach out for understanding. And we begin the process of learning and we absorb and we get on that road, if you will, of life, the journey of life, and we start gathering information and gathering knowledge. And then many times we spend the rest of our lives trying to figure out what to do with the knowledge that we've gained. Because not all of that knowledge is good knowledge. Some of the knowledge is perverted knowledge. Some of the knowledge is following the vein of what Satan wants humanity to do, and that is reach out for my own lust, for my own desires, for my own fulfillment in life. And that's what happens in this world in which we live. We see when people aren't serving the Lord, when they're not trying to do right things, when they're not following the prescription laid out in the Bible, they're following the power that leads to destruction. And in trying to reach out for all of the pleasure in life that I can possibly gather to myself, I'm not following just for myself. I'm following a power greater than me that is leading me down that path. I'd like to turn to the book of Proverbs and read the scripture, a little passage here. It's chapter 6. Proverbs chapter 6, verse 23. For the commandment is a lamp, and the law is light, and reproofs of instruction are the way of life. To keep thee from the evil woman, from the flattery of the tongue of a strange woman, lust not after her beauty in thine heart, neither let her take thee with her eyelids. For by means of a whorish woman, a man is brought to a piece of bread, and the adulteress will hunt for the precious life. Hear these words. Can a man take fire in his bosom and his clothes not be burned? Can one go upon hot coals and his feet not be burned? Folks, just as sure as I'm standing here this evening, and as sure as you begin to reach out for any of those things that are to satisfy and gratify the flesh, it's just like walking on coals. It's just like taking fire in your bosom. You will be burned. You will be burned. You're going to get burned by doing that. If that's going to happen, that's the law, one of the laws of sowing and reaping. It is not. It cannot be reversed. It can't be changed. It will happen. If we pursue that course, if I pursue my own way, if I decide in my own life that this is the direction I'm going to take, I will be burned. My feet will be burned. I'm going to get in trouble for it. Scripture in 1 Corinthians 7:31 says, "And they that use this world is not abusing it, for the fashion of this world passeth away." And this fashion is not talking about clothes. I know sometimes people, they'll want to use that, the fashion of this world, talk about the clothing. It includes that. But it's not just exclusive to that. The fashion of this world, the design of this world, the direction of this world, the arc of this world, the trajectory of this world, everything that it reaches for, everything that it's looking for, reaching after, it's going to pass away. It's all going to disappear. It's all going to go away. And now I want to turn to 1 John. This is where my little text is this evening. 1 John chapter 2. Beginning with verse 15. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. Folks, these are direct direct words, and it really doesn't require any explanation from this pitiful frame of flesh and bones here this evening. Love not the world. What is the world? You know what the world is. Everyone in here knows what the world is. Everyone in here that is of age, that is mature, has a mature mind, you understand and you know what the world is. And the Scripture says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. That's why I put the two contrasts here. Love of the world, love of the Father. If the love of the world is in the heart, the love of the Father is not there. If the love of the Father is utmost and takes precedence in the heart, then the love of the world is cast aside. And remember that all of the things that are of this world, as Scripture goes on to say, for all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes. This sounds familiar to what Eve was presented to, wasn't it? The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life. It's not of the Father, but it's of the world. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Now in the book of Job 31:1, it says, I made a covenant with mine eyes. Then why should I think upon a maid? I made a covenant with mine eyes. There are things, folks, that you and I must do in this life to be successful living for the Lord. We must make the decision to not put ourselves in a place where I can be presented with wicked and evil thoughts. Now, they will come. Sometimes you'll be going down the highway, paying attention to nothing but what you're doing and your surroundings, and suddenly there's a billboard up ahead, and you think, wait a minute. That's not what I want to see. But you have the opportunity to twist in your mind and get that your affections away from that and move on to something else. You're standing in line at a checkout counter at a supermarket, and there are the things on display, the magazines and the advertisements there. I know they're all right there. I live in the same world you do. I'm confronted with the same things you are. I have to do the same thing that you have to do. Make a decision. Make a choice. But if I put myself, if I make the conscious decision to put myself in the place to start entertaining these thoughts, Eve could have easily dismissed Satan and said, no. He said, don't touch it. He said, don't go near it. That's all I need. Excuse me. That's enough. We have to be able to have the same fortitude. We have to have the same idea, because if we don't, folks, and we allow ourselves to be drawn aside by the tempter, we're going to be following after our own lusts. There's no middle ground here. It's either one way. It's either love the world or love the Father. As we've said in the past, the Scripture says, from the Master, no man can serve two masters. You'll hate the one and love the other, hold to the one, despise the other. You can't serve God and your own desires. You can't do it. So when I start trying to intermingle and intermix those things of the world in my own personal life, I put myself on dangerous ground. I put myself in a place where the enemy has full opportunity to call me aside. Psalm 101. Psalm 101 and verse 1. The Psalm of David. I will sing of mercy and judgment unto thee, O Lord, will I sing. I will behave myself wisely in a perfect way. O, when wilt thou come unto me? I will walk within my house with a perfect heart. I will set no wicked thing before mine eyes. I hate the work of them that turn aside. It shall not cleave to me. I will set no wicked thing before mine eyes. Oh, be careful, little feet, where you go. Remember that song? Careful, little ears, what you hear. Be careful, little eyes, what you see. For the Father up above is looking down in love. So be careful, little feet, where you go. songs for the little children that we would sing to as little children and sing to the children, but it applies all through life. Be careful where you go. Don't put yourself out there in that place where you can be led astray because the tempter is ready to take advantage of you. The Scripture says he comes for no other reason but to steal and to kill and to destroy. And he's good at it. And he'll draw you in. He'll suck you into that place just as quickly as he possibly can by a little bit of indifference, by a little bit of nonchalant attitude and idea. By a little of thinking, well, this doesn't really matter. Well, I'll be careful. I can take care. I can protect. Really? Eve was the second human being created by God. Just about as close a link as you can get to God for a human being. The second one. And she fell to temptation. Because the enemy presented her with the idea that if you'll partake of this, it's to be desired to make you wise. What did that appeal to? Me. It appealed to me. It appealed to my thinking. It appealed to the lust of my eyes, the lust of my flesh, and the pride of my life. Well, now if God's holding things back on me, then why can't I just go ahead and partake of this fruit, and then I'll be up there with Him? What is that? Gratifying self. Putting self first. Putting self above God. And the Scripture, the whole tenor of the Scripture tells us that if we're going to be successful, it says, crucify the flesh with the affections and the lusts. Take up your cross daily and follow me. The Apostle Paul said, I die daily. He said, I give myself a punch in the eye. I keep my body under subjection. I keep my body under. And when it's that Scripture that says, and I keep my body under, means I give myself a punch in the eye. Why? To subdue myself. Because myself is always reaching out after those things and I can be swept by the tide if I'm not careful. Be careful, little feet, where you go. Theater. Shows, games, you name the attractions. Be careful. Be careful. People can, this world in which we live, sometimes in the springtime and the summertime, just to go to town is a difficulty because of the way that people dress. I've been sickened in my spirit and challenged in my spirit. I go to town and I see men and women alike. And I see women who, it looks like they're going in and out of the stores dressed in lingerie. Where's the shame? What have we descended to? And if I put myself, all this, if I just put myself, I think of the revelings on the beach, the spring break. The college students love to go to spring break. And for years I've heard the stories about spring break, spring break, spring break, and I hear some of the tales of things that happen that while they're on spring break. The debauchery, the things that don't have any reason to be spoken of in a setting like this. But that's the things that people put themselves, they'll put themselves in that place. And the Scripture says, can a man take fire in his bosom and not be burned? Can he walk on hot coals and his feet not be burned? Yeah, but I can control that. Could Eve control it? Was Eve able to control it? No, because it was the pull of something that's inside. Folks, human beings are fundamentally flawed. Every one of us, fundamentally flawed. We read in the Scriptures and we hear different stories. I'll just give you an example here. Socialism. The concept of socialism is that everybody is on an equal plane. Everybody has the same. There's no rich, there's no poor. and everybody does well. But there's a fundamental flaw. It's humanity. Somebody wants more. Somebody is going to have more. And when we follow that approach in life, that's what we deal with. There is a misrepresentation of many things, but there's a fundamental flaw. Honesty, integrity. There are honor. There are things that, Lord, we live in a capitalist society, but we need to do it with honesty and integrity and having the understanding that what the Scripture says to remember the poor. But we have, remember, we have, human beings have a fundamental flaw, and it is self. It's me. And I have to keep this body under because I'm always reaching out for ways to help me. You think not? Do you not have that same battle? Where there are things that pop up on a daily basis, on a regular basis, maybe I should say, where you realize, I have to give myself a punch in the eye because I can't entertain this thought. Because it's going to elevate me above what the Lord wants me to be. I want to elevate myself instead of being humble. I'm going to be proud instead of being meek. I'm going to be impatient instead of long-suffering. Those are the things that we have to battle with as Christians. Copied this from a commentary. It says, the world is not interested in living a life patterned after the Word. Likewise, a Christian should not be interested in living a life patterned after the world. The unbelievers prefer dress that draws attention to their bodies, which reflects extravagant and changing fashions. The Christian has a mode of dress that is plain and common. Galatians chapter 5. Verse 16. Chapter 5 of Galatians, verse 16. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And if you notice, this is capital S. It's not just a Spirit, it's the Spirit of God. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary the one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would. But if you be led of the Spirit, you're not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, which is lewdness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I have told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is this: love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. You see the difference, folks? Crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts so that it takes away the desire. If we live in the Spirit, God's Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit of God. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another, trying to climb up your back, you trying to climb up my back, me trying to get ahead of you, you trying to get ahead of me, but rather having a desire to love and serve one another in the Lord. If you have more than me, thank God. Glad He gave you that ability. If I have more than you, thank God that He gave me that ability. And we have respect one to another, appreciation one to another. But folks, remember, John, who was one that, as the Scripture says, leaned on the Lord's bosom, leaned on His breast, he said these words, "Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. Because if any man loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him." And let's be careful where we go, what we do, the things that we see, the things that we hear. Let's be careful. I know that's a very simple and maybe sometimes childish sounding little song. But when it says, "Be careful, little eyes, what you see." Oh, be careful, little eyes, what you see. For the Father up above is looking down in love. Be careful, little eyes, what you see. Be careful, little feet, where you go. Oh, be careful, little feet, where you go. For the Father above is looking down in love. So be careful, little feet, where you go. Be careful, little ears, what you hear. Oh, be careful, little ears, what you hear. Because remember, the Scripture says that all things are naked and open before Him with whom we have to do. He sees all. And He sees if I'm being reckless and careless, and if I'm doing those things that can gratify my flesh, if it's because I want to. I want to. I want to. I understand there are honest things that we can do because we want to. I understand there are harmless things that we can do because we want to. But the moment it takes the transition where it goes from "I want to "I will do." I will do. When the Scripture says, "Boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth." So I appreciate your time and attention this evening. God bless each one. Let's pray for one another. You pray for me. Amen.